Hello and welcome to season 3 of Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Mum's Work and Chaos. Today I'm joined by Holly, otherwise known as Holly the Menopause Coach on Instagram. And yes, you guessed it, today we are going to be talking everything menopause. So welcome, Holly.
Thank you. Thanks so much for that lovely introduction.
No worries at all. And can you, this is your time. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I'm a menopause fitness and well-being coach. I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and the main reason is because I'm going through early menopause at 35. So I wanted to become more clued up on what was going on in my own body as well as my client's body. So I come at it from a more holistic point of view, so diet, exercise, mindset, journaling, all that kind of nice stuff, rather than just focusing in on all the like medical things. That's me.
Amazing. So, you know, it's such a taboo subject anyway, isn't it? I mean, anything to do with women's health in general, sexual health, is just like, no one wants to talk about it. Everyone hides it. There's shame associated with everything to do with it. It's just one of those subjects that people find really difficult to talk about, whether, I would quite happily lump it in with, you know, anything to do with sex education and all of that sort of stuff as well. It's just this sort of like area you avoid, isn't it? I think society has just added this extra shame to something that's completely natural that every woman is going to go through eventually anyway. Yeah. But I honestly believe there's a complete lack of education around the subject. And I know you agree with that as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, even from GPs, like when GPs go through their training, it's like this teeny tiny little bit at the end that they're not really given much knowledge around. So, I mean, I was very lucky when I went to my GP. She was a trainee GP, so she was really thorough. But I've been before, and not all male doctors are bad, but the male doctor I saw was not very helpful. And one of my first symptoms was skin issues. And he basically just said, it's because I wear makeup, and gave me some steroid cream, and off I went. And that was it. Yeah, so that wasn't a very good experience. But at the time, I didn't obviously know that that was a symptom, which it is. Like changes to your skin, that can be a symptom. The education is lacking. The good thing is now, I mean, there's Adele, the menopause coach. She's fantastic. I'm doing her certification at the moment, and it's so in depth. It's just fantastic. And she's really trying to get the message out there for education. And that's kind of what I try and do on my Instagram as well. And the women that I coach is give them education and empowerment around their own bodies so that they can go out into the world and know what to do. Because I think menopause can be seen as a time of, like you said, taboo, shame, hiding away, when actually it's a time where eventually our periods will stop and we kind of step into this new power and this new chapter of life. And that's how I envision it. And that's how I try and embody it and try and instill that into my clients as well.
No, that's amazing. And it's brilliant to actually like look at it from a more positive standpoint. That's the thing, is like, you know, again, our periods are going to stop. This then leads us into a certain element of liberation, doesn't it? Which is awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I suppose, again, around the whole education piece, really, it's not even working out exactly what menopause even is. So, I mean, my understanding of it is that it's when your hormones start to drop off and you experience these changes in your body as part of that. But tell me more. What is menopause?
What is it? So there's different definitions. So perimenopause is the time leading up to your menopause. So that can be anywhere between 8 and 10 years. So menopause, the average age is 51. So if you imagine 8 to 10 years, you can see how women in their 40s, early 40s, are starting having menopausal symptoms. And then before that even, and if you go through early menopause or surgical menopause, and then there's all these other things that can come into play. So perimenopause is when you'll start maybe having irregular periods, having symptoms, you know, the ones that people know about, like hot flushes, night sweats, loss of muscle mass, mind blanks. That's another one. That's another symptom of menopause. Like brain fog, your brain just goes blank all of a sudden and you can't find the words. So if you're experiencing that, you may be in perimenopause. So that's kind of perimenopause, 8 to 10 years. And then menopause is only actually one day in your life. So we use this term menopause when actually menopause is when you've not had a period for 12 months, that one day after, that's your menopause. And then your postmenopause. So I know, yeah. So everyone uses the term menopause when actually we should just be using peri or post. But, you know, most people don't know that. So it's easy just to say menopause as a collective.
It's crazy. So when people are saying, oh, yeah, I'm going through the menopause isn't really what they're going through. They're going through perimenopause. And the menopause is literally that one day.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah. Most people don't know. And I tell them, they're like, what? I don't think so. So, and then postmenopause, and you can still have symptoms 5-6 years postmenopause. Some women have worse symptoms postmenopause. I think the scariest time is when you're not having any symptoms and you think you've breezed through it, but actually what's happening is your muscle mass is declining. And your bone density is declining, and then you're more susceptible to osteoporosis. So if you're not doing anything to help with those, whether that's HRT, strength training, getting the right nutrition, then that's when we can have problems maybe 10, 15 years down the line with osteoporosis and osteopenia. So actually the women that are having the symptoms are getting the help are usually doing better, because the women that think they've breezed through it may not necessarily in the next 10 years.
Wow. So as you said, you know, your symptoms started with skin issues and things being irregular in that department. Mm-hmm. But how did you actually, like, you know, advocate for yourself? How did you go to the GP, you know, say, no, this isn't right? And then what happened afterwards? Like, how did they come to the conclusion that you were going through perimenopause?
Perimenopause. So I'd never had any issues with my cycle. So that was one of the other first ones. So I from previous experience of other things, I'd known to track for 3 months symptoms before going to the doctor. Because if you just go to the doctor after a week and be like, this is happening, they're going to be like, well, how long has it been going on and what are the other symptoms? So I did 3 months. I tracked everything. There's a really good app called Balance that you can track all your symptoms in, and it's free. Even for women not going through menopause, you can still use it as a tracker, a cycle tracker. So that's a really good tool. So I tracked it through there, went to the doctor. We spoke about different things. We spoke about family history, and I'd actually spoken to my mum, and she went through early menopause, and my nan went through early menopause. So it was kind of running in the family, which I believe can happen. If family members have gone through it early, then you're more likely to go through it early. So then it was bone density scan, blood tests, family history, symptoms. So for me personally, I have gone on HRT just because of my age to help with the decline in bone loss. So that's why I'm having DEXA scans, to make sure that it's not too low. So HRT helps with that. Now, it's maybe not something that I'll be on forever, but at the minute it helps with that kind of side of it. And also the mental challenges, because for me personally, it was more the mental challenges rather than the physical symptoms that I was struggling with. So like anxiety and overwhelm and things that I'd never experienced before. Someone who's never really had any mental health issues, it was a bit of a shock. Like, what is this feeling? This is horrible.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps, as well as obviously other things like meditation and journaling and all those kind of nice things to keep your body in check.
And that's awesome. Amazing. So, you know, if someone were listening to this now and were thinking, oh my God, you know, I think I might be either going through, going through the menopause, starting to experience those perimenopause symptoms, you know, I'm guessing, you know, we'd say, again, track that for 3 months, go to the GP, advocate for yourself. Do you feel like it actually makes a difference, like the gender of the GP that you go to see? Because I mean, I thought it did, because I've gone through some issues myself around contraceptives and things as well. It turns out I have a sensitivity to progesterone.
Okay.
And so I went on to the implant after I had my third and found that actually I was bleeding more than I wasn't, which is really fun. And so actually I went to my GP, I'd asked to see a female GP and instead was seen by a male GP, and he was fantastic. He really listened to me. I did what you did. I logged it all in my diary. I'd done 3 months worth. I don't know why though. I feel like it was like a leftover of GCSE science, you know.
Just in your brain somewhere.
You have to do the experiment 3 times to get an average and know what the outcome's going to be. So I logged it for those 3 months also, and I went and I showed him my monthly planner in my diary, and I was like, this is what it looks like. And he was like, yeah, we need to get the implant out, we need to track it for another 3 months after that. I'm sending you for an ultrasound because I'm worried it could be endometriosis, and actually the progesterone is minimizing those symptoms. Because apparently if you suffer from endometriosis, they stick you on progesterone to try and help minimize those symptoms as well. And then it was a case of, okay, now we're seeing how this is panning out. But I was actually quite shocked.
That's a really good experience. I mean, it's not necessarily down to the gender. It's most women feel more comfortable going to a female, or I would always ask to see the female health specialist or the menopause specialist. That there won't be many menopause specialists, unfortunately, but the female health specialist, because they should have more of an indication of female health, you would like to think.
Yeah.
So obviously my experience was with a male doctor the first time round. However, I went with skin issues, so there was no reason for him to do bloods or further investigation. But I was very dismissed, like, you're a woman, you wear makeup, therefore that's the issue. Like, there wasn't anything else that he asked, and they only get 10 minutes. Whereas the woman that I saw the second time round, I was in there half an hour with her, so she was, you know, she did her due diligence. I can't say that word. She did the right things.
And
we got the right outcome. But I know it's not like that for everyone, and I know it is a postcode lottery depending on how much time you spend with your GP, when you can get a GP appointment, because some women struggle even to get a GP appointment. Like, women in my DMs are like, it's weeks before I can even see the GP about anything. And then women can't afford to go private and can't afford to pay for a menopause specialist. So again, it comes back to education, and the more education that GPs are given, the better, which is changing, but it's going to take years for it to be properly implemented.
Yeah, I think that was one of the issues that I experienced with trying to get an appointment to discuss my own issues as well, was that it took 3 weeks to get that to book that appointment. So and then when I did finally get that appointment, you know, going through a GP receptionist, anyway, I'm sorry if you are one. You're not all the same. But we've got to this point now where a GP surgery, the receptionist has to have they have to ask certain questions to be able to give you the appointment now. They have to offer triage, which is sometimes a bit difficult to deal with when you're the patient, if I'm honest, because you don't really want to be discussing, it's hard enough discussing your issues with the doctor, let alone then having to explain to a civilian behind the desk that actually, you know, you want to see the doctor because you're having some issues with your period. And then it was just really funny because the reasoning I got from the receptionist for my issue was, oh well, you're it's not a new issue, it's an ongoing issue. And I was like, it's new to me. This continuous bleeding is new to me. And her excuse was that I am a woman, and therefore have a period, and therefore was an ongoing condition. I wasn't aware that having a period was a medical condition.
Oh my god, as if she gave her opinion on your body. That's insane.
I know, it was crazy. Wow.
That's
wow. I mean, so like, you know, as part of the whole menopause issue, like we know bits and bobs fly around there, and then you see the bits of news pop up on the screens in the GP surgery. Have you booked a flu jab? Have you done this? Mm-hmm. Are you pregnant? Do you need a whooping cough vaccine? Did you know about the menopause? And that's about as much as we get via snippets. Or, you know, if we find someone like yourself on Instagram who actually talks about the subject, which is you know, brilliantly helpful. But like, I think a lot of us don't really know about the implications that menopause has on your body anyway. Yeah. So like, as you alluded to, you know, you've got the bone density issues and the loss of muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So this is why we see these lovely older ladies who are, you know, hunched over walking down the street. It's because they have those issues as part of the menopause experience, don't they? So they've lost that, and now their body is unable to support itself as well as it could.
Yep.
So what can we do to alleviate the symptoms and issues that we might have around, you know, bone density and muscle loss?
So I mean, coming from more like not a medical stance, obviously there is HRT. It can help depending on how severe your symptoms are. It can really, really help. And it's obviously, there was a big scare back in the 90s. But there's further education come out about that. And because they're transdermal, they're only in your system for 24 hours, the estrogen part. But for a more like lifestyle benefit, I would recommend a high protein diet. High protein diet is not for bodybuilders alone. We as women massively undereat protein, and we should be eating more. That's what I see most when women come to me. Like, we don't really track. I think I've had one woman track calories because, number one, who's got time? Number two, so much stress around it. You're already in a heightened stress position in menopause. So the last thing I want to be doing is weighing out my chicken breast every day. So so we don't do that. So I have this guide, which is basically a plate guide. So as long as you stick to that, if you do a quarter of your plate protein, a quarter carbs, and half of it salad or vegetables, if you stick to that three times a day, you can't go wrong. Like, you really can't. So most women come to me and are actually not eating enough. So they're like, oh, so you need to eat more food. I'm like, yes, you need to eat more food and you will lose weight. And it always happens. And they're always really reluctant because, especially as women, we've been in these diet cultures, these yo-yo diets, the slimming world, Weight Watchers. Don't get me started on them. when really, we just need to be eating really nice, nourishing food. Like, if you cook most of your food from scratch, you'll lose weight. It's just, we live in a society where we want things really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
So this is why people go on these diets and these super crash low diets. And then, they lose the weight, but then you put it all back on because you can't sustain that. No. So it's all about healthy lifestyle, high protein diet, strength training, which is basically any kind of resistance training. So weights, resistance machines, yoga, Pilates, they're really good as well. 2 to 3 times a week. If you can only do 2, that's better than doing none. If you can only do 1, it's better than doing none. So yeah, 2 to 3 is ideal. But any kind of strength-based training. And then sleeping well, 7 to 9 hours. As women, we need more sleep. A little bit of cardio in there, but doing the cardio for health, not for weight loss.
Yeah.
So a 30-minute walk a day is plenty. And then also that's going to help your mental health, because if you go outside, even if it is raining, if you go outside for 30 minutes and it just clears your brain and you can think, because our calves are our thinking muscles. So if you go out for half an hour with no phone or put it on silent, no music, no nothing, and just walk and just listen, honestly, it's just like a game changer, and it changes your mindset and just puts you in such a better mood. But for health and to protect yourself, strength training and a high protein diet and keeping stress to a minimum and a good sleep routine, and you literally can't go far wrong.
It's funny as well, because, like, you know, I was explaining this to my mum like years ago, that I didn't think she was eating enough. And that actually she needed to eat more and more protein, whether that was in meat or even, like, you know, vegetable form, because did you know vegetables have protein in as well? Depends which one did you go for, but there's protein everywhere, so you can be completely vegan and easily protein, you know, have that protein in your diet as well. So it's crazy, isn't it? Like, you know, we've, especially like our age group, you know, I'm 36, you're 35, you know, we grew up in that, you know, really toxic culture of the 90s and noughties, with, you know, all the shredding of poor old Jennifer Aniston and Britney Spears and everything in the tabloids as well. And so that's the this kind of like thing that we know. That's how we grew up. Jennifer Aniston had cellulite on the beach one day. How dare she? You know?
Oh, God. Like, what a bitch.
You know, it's crazy. It's not like everyone else does as well. So we were given these ridiculous standards to try and stick to, and it's impossible. No one's ever going to be that, you know, that pillar of, or that standard. You're never going to find that anywhere. And so I think it's quite hard to actually, like, mentally break yourself out of that cycle, isn't it, of feeling that way. And then when your hormones are defying you and, you know, and not playing ball, it's even harder to keep up and you know, I don't know. Your shape will change regardless. Like, I mean, I've had 3 kids and my hips are, you know, after the first one, they were 2 inches wider. And even after I lost the baby weight, which is, again, another standard.
I hate that too.
You shouldn't be held to either. But it's just that sort of, like, culture that we were brought up in, and thank God that the wonders of Gen Z are breaking that.
It's so much better. Like, I love going into the gym now and seeing women lifting weights, building muscle, not to look a certain way, but for health. And I think through menopause, it is a time to look at not what I look like. You want to feel comfortable in your own body and you want to feel empowered, but you're not doing it to look a certain way. You're doing it because I'm protecting my body for what's to come. Because my nan's 93. Her menopause was horrendously managed, and at the age of 63, she had a triple heart bypass because her thyroid had been mismanaged, because menopause can cause issues with thyroid. So then obviously there was heart disease, so she had a triple heart bypass, and she's got arthritis, osteoporosis, and I'm like, I do not want to get to that. So that is like my motivator to not only help myself but to help other women, to go, yes, you want to look and feel amazing, but this is for your health. This is so you can live a long and happy life and not be sat in that chair. Because she's been in and out of hospital, and, you know, every time they go into hospital, you're like, oh, they just get weaker and weaker. And it's like, I don't want to be ever be in that cycle.
No, exactly. And I mean, I think as women, again, we're brought up in a culture of service and sacrifice.
Yes.
And it's very, very difficult to put yourself first sometimes.
So hard.
You have to prioritize you and your health. And that was one thing. Like I work with a mutual friend of yours. So I did a podcast episode with Jack Pardo, Coach for Parents. And he is now my PT. And we've been working together since June. And my goal when I started working with Jack was that I wanted to get fitter. Mm-hmm. I wanted to feel stronger. And I wanted to be able to play with my children without dying a death. Because I literally could, I would climb a flight of stairs and I'd be out of breath.
Yeah.
You know, and that is... I didn't necessarily want to lose weight. I was, you know, aware that that was going to be a byproduct of doing the work that I was doing. But realistically, what I wanted to do was build more muscle and feel stronger again, because I used to have a really physical job. Mm-hmm. And now I sit behind a desk. Mm-hmm. And I don't move a lot.
Yeah.
And although my steps are quite good, because I do the school run, that was all well and good, but I wasn't building any muscle or maintaining it.
Yeah.
And so that was one thing that we started working on was strength training. And honestly, is the best thing I've ever done. Like, I always thought of, you know, being fit, you had to do cardio, you had to go running, you had to use an exercise bike or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those things, I hate them.
Yeah, they're boring.
It's not my thing. And so the minute I picked those weights up and I started doing that sort of training, you know, it made me feel so much better. And having that muscle mass helps with the oxygenation of your blood, mm-hmm. helps with the burning of calories and upping your metabolism anyway. Yep. And as Jack put it, it makes your body more expensive to run.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, steal it. I'm sure you won't mind. But it does, because you're expending more energy just being than if you don't have that muscle mass in the first place, aren't you? So
exactly.
Yeah.
So important in menopause as well, which why amazing you're doing it now, because you're age-proofing your body before you've even got to perimenopause. So you're already ahead of the game. So if anybody's listening to this that is not even there yet, just start strength training. Just start it. And I just fell in love with it. Like, I love being able to lift heavy shit. I love it. Like, I'm like, I feel so empowered because my gym is very much like a bodybuilding gym. So it can be quite intimidating walking into a load of bikes. But I'm just like, no, right, I'm going to walk up there and get me weights and I'm doing this. And he's like, oh, do you want the 30 kilos? I'm like, no, you're all right. I'm not that good. But you have a joke with them and it's nice. And gyms can feel really intimidating. But actually, once you've been going a while and you get to speak to them, everyone's usually really nice. And actually, no one cares about you. They just care about looking at themselves in the mirror, especially the men.
Like when I started... when I started all of this, I had like dumbbells and things at home anyway, because my husband was using them when we were at uni. They're that old. And so like I said to him, I really don't want to join a gym. That's not my thing. You know, I want to be able to work out at home because of convenience. Like, I work from home anyway, so I could do the school run, come back, do a bit of work, and then during my lunch break do a workout and then get back to work again. And so it meant that I was able to, you know, follow the exercises off the app, do the workouts from home. You know, if I was worried about form, I could film myself, send it to him, make sure that I was doing everything correctly. And I just found it so much easier, so much less pressure, because there was no judgment. I was just getting on with it. And even if I had a really, like, if I had like a really busy day and I didn't do a workout, it wasn't the end of the world. It was just like, well, you know, it didn't get done. It's cool. We've always got tomorrow. Or like I'd actually miss having not done it and then pick it up on the weekend and get it done anyway.
That's good.
Yeah, but it does make you feel so much better. And I think mentally as well, I started to feel more clarity because I was using my body, again, getting that blood pumping and then being able to go, oh, okay, I can sit here and actually concentrate for 20 minutes without getting distracted or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So you're working out your body, but it also helps your mental health. It releases endorphins, happy hormones. And it is true, the more you do it, that when you don't do it, you miss it. Like there were times like I was doing 4 days a week, now I'm doing three because that works for me at the minute, probably because the weather's turning, it's a bit slower, but it's better than doing nothing. So even if, like, with my clients, they're like, oh, I've not really managed to do this, and I'm like, but you did one this week, and that's better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
So it's about being, obviously, if you're missing weeks and weeks and weeks, then that's not good. But you know, the odd one here and there, it's not the end of the world. But I think people feel like I'm going to sell them off because they've not done it. And I'm like, no, because you did one and you're listening to your body. And that's what it's about, especially menopause. And as women, we're very much in the masculine. We're very much in the, I've got this to do. I've got to look after the kids. I've got to cook this. I've got to do this. And we're in the do, do, do. Yeah. Whereas actually we need to step back and be more in our feminine energy and come from a more feminine side and listen to what our body needs. And if today's not a day to do a workout, okay, well, I might go for a walk or I might just have a bath. Might just sit and read for half an hour. I might listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
It's about honoring yourself more. And it's not selfish. It's self-care.
I think, yeah, I know a lot of, I follow a lot of mum creators on Instagram and things. And it's a lot of what they talk about is around, you know, mum guilt. And doing things for you, they advocate for that, obviously. But I think we get caught up in this whole business of we have to be, you know, popping a load of laundry on whenever we get a chance. We have to be making sure that our kids remember their snacks for school, or you know, have clean school uniform, or you know, did their homework in time, or have to know what we're going to have for dinner and all of that sort of stuff. And we get caught up in the do, do, do. And I think sometimes I do struggle to switch off of an evening even.
Mm-hmm.
And then ends up being the time to sit down and Google and research and work out, you know, what, you know, if one of them's got a problem at school, like what can I do to help sort that out, or you know, where are we going to go on holiday in the Easter holidays?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And you're just constantly switched on and doing. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, trying to find that time to switch off and do something for you can be guilt inducing and shouldn't be at all, because I read this you know, meme put up by another mum content creator a while ago, and it said, I was asked whether I feel guilty for taking the time out and doing exercise when you know, as a mum.
Mm-hmm.
And I replied, I'd rather take an hour out to do some exercise or do something for myself rather than be a stressed outcome. For my kids. And I was like, that is so true though, because you spend that minimal amount of time on yourself, you de-stress, you feel less overwhelmed, you get that happy hit of endorphins and everything feels better, and then you're more engaged and you're happier around your children.
Exactly. And you show up as a better version of you, rather than I'm going to kill you because you're not eating your dinner or you're running around or you're not going to bed. But you can cope with that stress more if you've de-stressed yourself. So yeah, you do show up as a better parent, 100%.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another thing that I found and been quite proud of as well from actually doing the exercise is that I don't like Sometimes I wait until they've gone to bed. And other times I just have to get it done. And so, you know, they might be around while I'm doing a workout. And actually, that's such a good thing for them to see. They see that exercise isn't linked to, you know, necessarily to weight loss. It isn't linked necessarily to, you know, trying to look a certain way. But in fact, for me, exercise is linked to the ability to be engaged, happy, and fitter so that I can actually play with my children. And and that's why I do it. You know, yes, it's for me. It makes me feel better. But equally, it's for everyone else that I live with and coexist with, because I'm not an arsehole all the time. And I can actually get, if I had to, get on a trampoline and jump up and down with the kids without dying within 2.5 seconds. So, you know, they get to see fun mum as well. Mum who can chase them around the park and you know, and do those fun things, not just, you know, stressed out, constantly on my phone.
Exactly, worrying. And that's the best place to come from, because that's a better goal to have than I want to lose 5 kilos. It's like, you will lose 5 kilos, but that shouldn't be the goal. Like, it should, you've obviously got a different reason, which is the better reason, because a weight loss goal you probably wouldn't stick to, but this means more, so you stick to it because it's for your kids.
And that, I think that's the thing, it's more of a byproduct than the actual goal, isn't it? And you know, like, I'm guessing that a lot of the women who work with you, their goal is to protect themselves, to feel better, to feel stronger. And again, that weight loss is probably just like a byproduct of it. The whole process, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they will come, 99 will come to me with a weight loss goal. As we like dig into it, like, I had one working with one woman who's had disordered eating. Not an eating disorder, but disordered eating. From years of dieting, and she tried everything and nothing had worked. And then within the first couple of weeks, I got a voice note offer going, "It's fucking working. You're like a magician." And it's like, it's literally just simple things, implementing them right. And she's losing the weight, and she's got such a better relationship with food now, just from doing the plate method, talking about it, talking about things that come up. And that's just tiny little steps that we've done. It's nothing big, you know. And I'm just so pleased that she's coming through the other side, and obviously managing her menopause symptoms. And she's lost weight. She's lost 10 kilos in 3 months. But it's done sustainably, not crash dieting, and her relationship's changed. And she hated working out. She enjoys workouts. She's bought a treadmill, she does extra crunches, and I'm just like, you're like a different person. So yeah, she might have had the weight loss goal, but now, like, her relationship with food is better. She can fit into clothes she's buying new clothes, and that makes her feel better. Like, she's not scared to go shopping for clothes because she's a few sizes down now, and she just feels better about herself. And that's just such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I went into the whole fitness thing and working out thing after sort of like discovering the body positivity movement and you know, following people like Laura Adlington, who was on Bake Off, and her co-host of their podcast Go Love Yourself, Lauren Smith. And I've actually done a podcast with Lauren Smith, which was awesome, and it was all about body positivity and you know, the body positivity movement isn't just about, it's embracing the fact that we all have a body. All bodies are different and look different and move differently and are different. And the way we move our bodies might be different as well. So it might be that you enjoy going for a walk, or you enjoy running, or, you know, you go paddle boarding on the weekend. You know, the way we move and the things that we enjoy and the way we do things is different. But I'd gone through like quite a big identity crisis after I had my first. I started to, you know, I did the whole covering up thing and, you know, didn't really like my clothes or the way I looked. And then after a while, I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to dye my hair pink. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I started to get braver. And then after I had my second, we were in lockdown again, the leggings came out, the baggy jumpers and everything as well. I had two children, and you know, it was just the way things change.
Yeah.
And then I had my third 19 months after I had had my second. Yes, she was a surprise. But again, I've gained more weight. I covered up again. But we started eating more takeout and takeaways and things because we just, time was minimal. My husband and I were both working, you know, and it just, everything just compounded to the point where, like, I just wasn't happy. And then I saw a picture of myself that someone had taken of me, and I was just like, who is that? Like, I didn't recognize that person. I obviously didn't look happy. I didn't feel happy. And then it was, a case of sort of like rediscovering that, who I wanted to be, moving into that sort of like trying to be fitter and healthier and happier, but also like discovering the sort of fashion that I was interested in, the clothes I wanted to wear. And that's when I came across things like Vinted, because Vinted's awesome, because like, as I started to like drop the pounds from, you know, all the strength training and everything that I was doing, and eating better and eating healthier, because as I said, we were relying a lot on takeaway food, and that meant that instantly your diet is just pants.
Unfortunately.
Yes. There are healthy options out there.
There are.
Not the ones that you generally go to. And so it meant that, you know, the weight piled on. I didn't look or feel healthy. I was moving less, and I was getting, you know, generally unfitter. And so after, as I said, after that picture, I sort of tried to, you know, get fitter, feel happier, eat healthier, you know, change my diet. And generally try and, you know, just improve my life. And yeah, so as I was dropping that weight, I was like, I'll buy it up. You know, my clothes are getting bigger, and I didn't want to have to like invest in brand new stuff. Like, clothes cost money. And so I sold a bunch of stuff on Vinted, and then bought a bunch of stuff on Vinted, and it was brilliant. I got a bit braver. It gave me more of an opportunity to try things I wouldn't necessarily try, because they were like £3, £5. And so it's like, you know, I've not worn a wide leg trouser in a long time. I'll give that a go.
Why not?
You know, well, I really like that jumper with all the love hearts down the sleeves. I'll buy that and give it a go. And I feel like, you know, that as well gave me a boost. Like you said, your other client who's now been able to buy some more clothes and things for herself, and that's exciting. You get to try things out and try different things, and I really enjoy that part of it as well, discovering who you are.
and definitely through menopause, that is a time of rediscovery. So if you go through like a weight loss journey like you have, it's like a time of rediscovery, and so can menopause. All these things are ending and this new chapter's beginning, and it's like, why not try that thing that I may not wear, or wear that lipstick that I would never have worn before? Like, who cares? Like, when you get to that age, especially if you're like 50 plus, why do you care what anybody thinks? Like, I literally don't care. Like, I will just wear what I want. I'll just do what I want, because it doesn't matter. As long as I'm happy, I don't care what other people think. But that's a really hard place to get to. It is a hard place to get to. But when you get there, it's brilliant. It's fantastic. And that's what I try and instill in my clients, to get to that stage.
Yeah. It's so important to get, I think every woman will eventually get to that sort of fuck it stage, won't they?
Oh yeah.
It's just like, I'm fed up of trying to be someone else. I'm me. Let's just be me.
Exactly.
And I think part of me got to that stage like very soon after having my first child, because it was just like, you know, why try and be someone else? You know, I was 30, I was 29 when I had her. And I just kind of thought, you know, I've spent all these years being what I felt other people wanted to see. You know, I want to dye my hair pink. I want to try something new. I'm going to do it. And I even changed career. And I tried out a new job, and I went and worked in central London for a while. And I really, it was what I needed.
Yeah. Which is great. Yeah.
And it was great. And I realized things that I liked and I didn't like. And I'm going to be honest, you're not going to know unless you try.
Yeah, exactly. So just do it.
Yeah.
Go on holiday. Do what you want. Buy that dress.
I feel everyone's motto every now and again, anyone, man, woman, whoever, should just be fuck it. Every now and again, fuck it. I want to do this for me.
Yes, you have to be selfish sometimes. That's what it's all about. Like, life's short. Like, do what you want to do. Like, I know a lot of people have said, I've never done it myself, but go traveling alone. If you can do like a trip on your own alone, you can learn so much about yourself. So if you were ever in a position to do that, you can discover so many things. So I would love to do that, even if it's just like a week on my own somewhere. But yeah, that's something I'd really like to do. That would be nice for you.
No kids. Oh yeah, definitely. A little bit of peace and quiet and some brain time. Might actually get to read a book that isn't about pirates or bunnies. That'd be brilliant. Oh my gosh. No, it's so important to spend that time on your own and to focus on yourself and to prioritize your health as well. And you know, because it's gonna see you well down the line at the end of the day. So if there is someone out there who's been listening to this, thinks they might be going through perimenopause or just generally wants to get ahead of the game and sort of protect themselves going forward, how would they get in contact with you?
So my Instagram is Holly the Menopause Coach. So I'm on there most of the time. So you can find me on there. I share load like daily, like helpful information around menopause, you know, tips on my stories as well, share stuff. So if they wanted to check me out, I would be there. And if anybody just wanted a chat, like my DMs are always open. So just slide into them and we can have a chat about anything. Cause sometimes some women just need a little bit of reassurance or just like, am I in it? You know, what's going on? I'm not sure. And, you know, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Amazing. And are there any other like helpful resources that you think that people might find useful? Who might be going through it or think they might be going through perimenopause?
Yeah, I mean, so there's Dr. Louise Newson. She's a menopause doctor. She's fantastic. She's got a couple of books out. I've got her books. They're great. And she does the Balance app that I mentioned before. But if you search it on your browser, there's also like hundreds and hundreds of like information, like documents, videos. So you can get loads of information. You can type in what you're searching for. You can research HRT symptoms, all that kind of stuff. So that's a really, really good tool to look at.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and, you know, discussing such an important subject for so many people. You know, I will look forward to keeping in touch with you and maybe doing some more stuff in the future as well.
Amazing. That's great. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mum's Work and Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @mumsworkandchaos. See you then.